pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. No! Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four! Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Okay, Anthony Slater, welcome back to the podcast. Appreciate you joining us again.
Oh, yeah. Glad to be back.
You were in Lubbock on Saturday. Was it as bad in person as it looked on TV?
It might have been worse. I mean, I don't know how bad it looked on TV, but especially that kickoff touchdown for Stewart. That was people in the press box. I mean, you're not supposed to, you know, cheer or, you know, have emotion one way or the other in the press box. But, I mean, it was people were trying not to laugh pretty much. And just the halftime vibe was unlike I've seen. I mean, it might have even been worse than the Kansas game.
Well, did you get the feeling that Tech at some point, maybe in the second or third quarter, just kind of quit, or are they just that bad?
I kind of felt like they quit in the second quarter. I mean, I'm not taking anything from Tech, but I mean, you know, it's senior night. They come out against the second team in the nation. They were probably a little pumped, but mid-second quarter, you're down 35-0. It's senior day, and, you know, half your crowd's gone, and I'm not even blaming the fans there either. I mean, it's 35-0. You just fumbled your kickoff into your own end zone for a touchdown. It was bad. It really was.
What was the crowd like? On TV, it looked meager at best, like maybe at most three-fourths full. Is that how it was in person too?
Yeah, I mean, at kickoff, people were commenting on it. It was more sparse than usual. I mean, it was still, you know, good Saturday crowd. There was a lot of people in town, but it was like, okay, I mean, this is not as good as they usually are hearing it. Do they even have a win at home this year? I don't think they have a win in conference at home, so you can kind of understand.
I don't think they do.
Was there one moment or one play for the entire game where the crowd could have got excited? I mean, so you can't really blame them for not being loud. There was not. I don't think there was one play besides the second half fumble recovery where they could have been excited.
Well, it was funny to watch on TV too, because, you know, obviously the announcers are rooting for a good game to keep viewers interested. And so they were, after the fumble recovery for a touchdown, they were almost trying to make it into Tech, you know, Tech's coming back and all this stuff. And you're like, probably not. But
yeah, well, they kind of have to move the ball on offense at some point, and that's not happening.
Yeah, was that – I mean, you've watched, obviously, every game like me. Was that the most complete game you've seen from this OSU defense?
Defense?
Defense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just look at the yardage-wise. All the other games that they've played well – They've kind of, you know, gave up the yards, just like everyone's always talking about. They've gave up the yards, but, you know, stiffened. In that game, they really, I mean, they didn't really give up many yards. I mean, and a lot of it had to do with the wind. Doji was having trouble throwing in the wind. There's no question about that. But, yeah, I mean, as a complete effort, that was definitely their best game. Baylor would be the only one that compared, but at the end, they were giving up. They were kind of playing prevent style and giving up yards.
What's the biggest concern going into Friday in terms of possibly losing to Iowa State? What's the thing that you're most worried about for this team going into Friday?
Well, first of all, I really don't see them losing. I don't even see Iowa State coming within 20 points. But I mean, the weather is going to be colder than the game they've played this year. I mean, people have talked about that. Even the forecast doesn't even look that bad. I don't know. I mean, all year people have talked about, you know, let down, they're thinking ahead, you know, on the road, but they've just come out and they're so complete and they're so deep and Whedon's so good that I really don't see any chance Iowa State has of beating them.
Who's a bigger factor in terms of leadership for this team, Mike Gundy or Brandon Whedon?
Mike Gundy. Whedon's great to have, obviously. But since Gundy's, I'm actually, you know, starting to do a story on, you know, Gundy. And just since he's given up his play calling duties, he's just become so much more stress free. And he's kind of, you know, the face of the program. He's allowed to, you know, go around and look at everyone as a whole, see body language, see everything. And it just seems like the team's kind of taken on that, you know, laid-back personality, stress-free. And I really think he's just an awesome, you know, face of a program. I mean, Whedon's great to have on the field, great leader on the field. But, I mean, as a face, dealing with all the media stuff, I think Gundy.
What is the Heisman hype and national championship hype like on campus right now?
I mean, didn't it just seem to blow up overnight? Not even on campus. I mean, nationally. No, I mean, in campus, people weren't really talking about it because nobody was really talking about it nationally, but it was kind of like the perfect storm. He just blows up against Tech. Luck throws two interceptions in a loss. You know, Kellen Moore loses. Everything just kind of happened, and it was suddenly like everyone needed a favorite now that Luck was gone, and it was like, okay, I guess it's Whedon. And then overnight, it's just suddenly like he went from, what, like seventh in everyone's mind to first? It's kind of baffling. But, I mean, I always thought he was higher, but it was just crazy how he suddenly went from not in the conversation to first.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a microcosm of the Heisman race as a whole, kind of where we're at in 2011, where it's, you know, who's getting the most run from ESPN and CBS and all these different places.
And even with Twitter, it was like a few people started talking about it, and some more people started talking about it, and then suddenly by the end of the Tech game, into the Stanford game, it was like gaining steam. And then, you know, now it's yeah. his favorite. It's really weird.
It really is, like, by the minute. What was the feeling you got at the – obviously, you went to the press conference today, the weekly press conference.
Yeah.
Was there any – was it different than in previous weeks because of
– it was terrible.
Why was it terrible?
I couldn't even get it to Whedon today. I mean, it was just Whedon came up first, and then, like, six other players came. And usually it's kind of, I mean, Whedon has a bigger crowd, and then it's kind of like staggered through the other players. And today it was Levi Adcock, Isaiah Anderson, Paulson, who else was there? Just some other players. And I remember literally sitting back at the, because I like to get one-on-ones with players. And I was sitting back, and there was probably 25 people talking to Whedon, and one person talking to Levi Adcock, and all the other players were just sitting there. No one was talking to him. I was like, are you kidding me? And throughout, I needed to ask Whedon a question about something, and I didn't even get a chance to talk to him.
Well, you could have got that one-on-one with Isaiah Anderson, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, he's a good quote, though. I mean, I'm not going to hate on him. But, and even that, when you would go, I mean, like, I'd walk over to Monkin, and people are asking him about Heisman and Whedon, you know, random questions. Go over, do something else. Back to Malkin, and somebody still asking him about Heisman and Whedon. But that was really all the talk to him.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because, you know, it's something that I think you and I and a few other people have kind of been, you know, we've been talking about it all year as kind of a legitimate thing.
I always thought it was going to kind of, like, you know, as it gets later in the year, if OSU stays undefeated, they're going to be one of the only undefeated teams, so people have to look at somebody on that team as a candidate. And I always thought, especially if he won Bedlam, you know, he'd at least go to New York. And then, but I guess, you know, that Tech game with Luck losing just kind of blew up.
What does he have to do to win the Heisman in the next two games?
Win. I mean, win and play well in wins, you know. If he just beats Iowa State, which I think OSU's going to beat him, and has decent numbers. And then if he wins Bedlam, especially if he has a big game in Bedlam, I think he wins the Heisman. If he has an average game, then it's probably up in the air. But, I mean, if he, you know, one of two, I mean, OSU and LSU, the only two undefeated teams going to the national championship, and LSU doesn't really have a legitimate candidate. Just cause,
right.
I mean, you can't give it to their entire defense. So, yeah, I mean, I think you just have to win. I got a question. Do you think if Luck doesn't lose. If Luck plays well and they beat Oregon, is Wheaton even in the top, like, 3 to 5? Or did people just see Luck lose? Okay, we kind of need, like, a, you know, a number one quarterback up here. Let's go Wheaton.
You know, that's a good question, because I kind of think – here's what I think would have happened if Stanford would have beat Oregon. Because Luck, I mean, he didn't really play that bad. He had a couple pick sixes.
Pick sixes just look so bad. Like, even if he look bad.
Yeah, and only one of them was really his fault. But for people not watching the game, they don't
which
they wouldn't know that.
Everyone on Twitter, probably half of them didn't even see the pick six.
What I think would have happened was you would have kept Luck at number one.
Yeah.
And then I actually think Keenum would have jumped up to number two, because I think it's kind of like a popular thing in the sports media to have kind of the under the radar, you know, non BCS guy. They don't want him to win, but they want him to be up there, you know, because it makes them look like, oh, you know, we got this guy that people aren't talking about. And I really think he kind of would have jumped up there, and then you would have had Whedon at like 3 or 4.
Well, I think might happen is you have you still have Luck at one, obviously. It's a good game against Oregon, and then they fill in Richardson or a couple of the other, you know, non QB positions at 2-3, because you can justify yourself having those guys at 2-3, but I feel like all of the top guys need a QB at one to, like, you know, sound logical. So I think they need the QB at one. So they now it's Whedon because Luck lost.
Yeah, it's really becoming, and I love the Heisman. You know, I love the Heisman Trophy, but it's becoming this. I mean, I feel like every year it's just more of this hype machine that it's not it. It's whoever people think is the best quarterback on the best team, or whoever their favorite quarterback on one of the top five teams is. It's just, it's such a weird, like, nobody really knows what the definition of the Heisman winner is supposed to be.
I mean, there's arguments there. All these top awards are just kind of a strange thing.
Yeah. Well, okay. I want to talk basketball for a minute.
Yep.
You didn't get to go to the home opener, the regular season home opener, but you did go to the first two exhibition games.
Mm-hmm.
Who surprised you most from where you expected them to be to how they actually played in those first two games?
Cesar Guerrero, probably. I think he'll be starting at point guard pretty soon. Goalie played decent in that. I guess I wasn't there. I just heard. Guerrero he's just a spark. Maybe you do keep him on the bench because he's a spark off the bench, but, I mean, he makes plays. I thought he was going to, you know, need a year or two to, you know, transition into a good player. But I think he looks like the best point guard. Reggie Dowell is kind of struggling. I think with Reggie Dowell, last year, he was really good for the team because, you know, they didn't really have a go-to scorer, perimeter scorer, and they needed that just off the bench. You know, I'm going to go to the hole. This year, I don't think he fits very well on this team because there's so many, you know, Nash can score off the perimeter. Old Kimmy seems to be better driving right now. And Dowell hasn't been fitting, and he's only been getting 10 minutes a game, really, and I don't even think he scored yet.
LeBron Nash, what's the best thing that he does on offense?
He just knows the game. It's like, you know, everyone's out there frantically going at it, and I can kind of see why he got the rap in high school. Like, oh, he might not be playing hard because, you know, he's just sitting there on the wing, you know, looking kind of lazy, or he's driving to the lane, not, you know, full speed, but he's kind of just fluid in the way he does stuff. And I mean, it seems like he can get to the rim. He's got an NBA body. He can shoot the J pretty good. I think against tougher competition, I think he's going to play better. That sounds weird, but I think in Big 12, he'll average more points than he does in non-conference because he seems to be, you know, if there's pressure on him, if there's pressure D, he seems to kind of thrive off that, take it as a challenge. And, I think he's going to be a good player this year.
What's going to be this team's identity? You know, you've got all the new guys in, obviously, and you've got, you know, some exciting athletic guys, but what's their identity? What's their calling card? What's their go-to thing that you say, this is what that team, you know, is good at?
I think from the first three games, which is obviously a small sample size, but they're going to press a lot. They're going to cause turnovers. They're just they're so lengthy and athletic. I mean, you got Ola Kimi, you got Cobbins, Brian Williams coming off the bench. If they just press and cause, you know, cross court pass type stuff, they're so lengthy, they tip everything. And then that gets them out in the open court and scoring. And those quick, you know, 10-point runs, 12-point runs off those, I mean, they're game changers. Because, I mean, honestly, in a half-court offense, they haven't looked very good. I don't know if that will come as time goes along, but they haven't looked very good in the half-court offense. They break down the play a little bit too much. They don't get the right shots. But just pressing, playing fast, using the athleticism. The Corpus Christi coach the other day, I think I read the quote because I wasn't there, but he compared them to Memphis from last year, just a bunch of young, athletic guys that, I mean, they can, at any given day, they can be somewhere in the country because they can play really well. And, I mean, you never really, I don't think you're going to know what you're getting with this team until about halftime.
How has Travis Ford's demeanor changed from last year to this year? Is he more excited? What's the difference between him last year and him this year?
Like you said, he's more excited. He has the kind of team that fits his personality. Last year, I mean, he's talked about it. It's just, like, they won 20 games, and I'm not even really sure how. But it was just a grind, and he's talking about it. It was just a grind all season. It was like, how are they going to fit this lineup in? How are they going to, you know, win this game? They had to dump the ball down to Moses to get points. Right? It was just, I mean, and I'm sure you admit, I mean, it was kind of a tough team to watch last year, even though they were winning, you know, some games. So this year, I mean, they're up-tempo, they're fast, they have a really high ceiling, and, you know, he's talked about how he's really enjoying coaching this team. So,
Will this year's team, because they are up-tempo and faster, attract more students and fans to their games?
You think. I mean, nobody was at the first three games.
Well, you'd also think that a 43-5 record for his career, you know, at home would attract people.
Did that surprise you? I read that in Trammell's article and I tweeted that. That surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I had seen it at one point last year. I didn't realize it was that high. I didn't know it was 43.
I asked somebody the other day. They're like, "Oh, it's pretty good. He's probably like, you know, 35-10 or something." I was like, "Oh, he's 43-5."
I mean, that's a pretty good home record.
That's a very good home record, especially in the Big 12. So
yeah, and it kind of boggles your mind even more about why they can't attract more people to come to the games. And I agree. Last year it was a boring team. It was a, like you said, they had to grind it out. They tried to play half court, but they weren't really that good of a half court team.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. It was a struggle. But. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got preseason NIT coming up. Yeah. Kicking off tomorrow night at home against Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess is it Wednesday they play the winner of ORU and UTSA.
Yeah, you got a potential Sean Sutton matchup with Ford.
What do you expect from the team in these two games?
They'll probably struggle in the half court offense, you know. But I think they'll win. I think they'll win both. I think they're, you know, much more talented and a better team than both these teams, and they have the home court, obviously. So I expect them to go to New York, which they'd be in New York next week. And that's when it'll get interesting. That's when I think they can start grabbing OSU fans' attention, because I feel like with all the football, everything football going on right now, you know, some fans probably don't even know basketball season started. and I think if next week, you know, people start realizing, oh, they're on ESPN tonight, you know, in Madison Square Garden. I didn't even know they started. But they'll be playing probably Stanford in the semifinals if they get there, which I think they're better than Stanford. They beat them last year. And then potentially a matchup with Syracuse and MSG on prime time next Friday night, not, you know, the Friday after this one, which I think for a young team, if they could make it that far, that'd be a huge confident booster. Just like it would kind of remind me, you remember Cincinnati, was it last year or the year before when they had Lance Stevenson?
Yeah, I think that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago where they just, I mean, they were very unranked, kind of like OSU is right now. And then they had to, I think they won the Maui Invitational. They beat a couple big teams. And then suddenly, you know, they're becoming, you know, they jumped into the national forefront. They're suddenly in the top 20. I think this team has the potential if, you know, they obviously had to play good, but if they have a deep run in this, you know, early tournament to open some eyes nationally, and, I mean, I think they need to open some eyes around here in Stillwater to get, you know, the big crowds.
How excited are these guys? I know you probably haven't talked to them a ton about it, but how excited are they at the potential of going to New York and playing in Madison Square Garden?
I just actually talked to them today about it. LeBron Nash seems the most excited, but he's also the most honest about everything. So, I mean, they're going to, they could go to MSG, and I guess everyone's been talking about it in the locker room. And then even if they don't make it, they're still going to MSG, I think a week or so after against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a rough conference schedule, but they're definitely excited about it. And, I think this team is going to feed off, you know, big crowds. They're a young team. They play with high energy. If they get energy from the crowd, even if it's, you know, in MSG against Syracuse, who would have the home court advantage there, kind of. I think they'll play well in big games. And I think if they can suddenly start packing out Galgariba, or at least getting it, you know, pretty full, I think they're going to become a really good home team just playing off the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's hard to get better than 43-5, but
yeah,
I definitely agree with that. Are you staying up for this 24 hours of basketball starting at midnight tonight?
I'll watch the first few games. I've been working a little too much lately. What are some of the good games?
I don't know. There's a couple games between ranked teams. I can't.
I love how we're talking about this, but when people hear this, like the games will have already happened, but.
Yeah, well, yeah, they'll be long over. They've, I think Baylor's playing, or
yeah, if there's some Big 12 teams or some top teams, I'll watch. But yeah. I need sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Baylor plays San Diego State, Texas, Rhode Island.
Yeah,
Duke, Michigan State in New York.
That could be all right. I don't want to be the only one answering questions here. What have you thought? You probably haven't seen the basketball team so far, but. Early thoughts on the team?
Yeah, I haven't seen the team. I it's hard not to get excited about it, though, and I don't know. I can't figure out if that is a factor of the fact that it's just new faces and change and all that stuff, or if it's that they're actually better. I think it's kind of both. I think they are going to be better than last year.
Yeah.
I think people forget that, you know, they have one of the best – well, one of the best three-point shooters and probably one of the best scorers they've ever had in Keaton.
Yeah.
And he kind of gets, you know.
It's kind of his personality to be under the radar, though.
Yeah, he kind of gets shuffled off to the side. And he's going to be, you know, I think he's going to have a great year. I'm like you. I think they could go 25-5 or they could go, you know, 10-20. I have no idea how they're going to gel. But I have seen – I've been encouraged to see. I think I saw a quote from Keaton the other day saying, "You know, this is the tightest knit team I've ever been on.
Yeah, college, high school,
anything.
Yeah, they are. They're close off the court, but I mean, like Ford said the other day, they talk about how close they are off the court, and they really are. But once, you know, we have 11 players that think they can start. So, you know, once we get in the season, and you know, this guy ahead of you is getting minutes, how are you going to react? You know." Your friend is the one that's, you know, taking your minutes. Are they still going to be as tight knit? He's like, that's, we'll see, to be determined.
Yeah. And that's tough because you got guys coming in that, you know, like Jurek and people that, you know, they didn't know each other 5 months ago, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, yeah, you're tight, but like you said, how tight are you going to be when your minutes are getting yanked by Cobbins because you can't score in the last 10 minutes or you can't shoot free throws or whatever. But yeah, I'm excited. I think it's kind of a raw deal because you obviously got the best football season in history in school history. And it's like basketball, you know, nobody even cares right now. And I just think it's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah. It's true, but even though, I mean, there have been some terrible crowds for the first two exhibition and the first game, I do think there's going to be some good crowds starting mid-season because people are going to see how exciting this team is. Football will be over, and they'll still have that taste for, you know, how much they love OSU Athletics because of what the football team just did. And I think that's going to spill over into, you know, an exciting team. And not only an exciting team this year, but, I mean, next year you got a five-star coming in. And Nash, I mean, if gut feeling is I think Nash will be back. Smart coming in, everyone a year older. I mean, this basketball team's future is almost as bright as the future of the football team.
Yeah, I agree with that because I think, I mean, with the football team, there's not a lot of room to go but down.
Yeah.
I mean, not that they're going to fall off the map, but...
I mean, they'll probably be a rank next year, but, I mean, they're not going to challenge for a national title.
Yeah, it'll be like Auburn. I mean, it really will be like Auburn from last year to this year. You know, they'll be good, maybe 8-4, 9-3, something like that. But yeah, basketball's on the upswing, and I'm excited. I hope. One thing I was going to ask you, and I haven't researched this at all, but does the extension of the lockout affect what Nash does next year, do you think?
I mean, if they'll still have a draft, but it just affects how much he thinks about it in his mind, you know, if he thinks he's going to an unstable league. But, I mean, talking to him, he really does, he has loved his time early in college, and, he's always been really honest when I talk to him. And the other day he said, you know, I am thinking about coming back. People think I'm just one and done. But I mean, I talk to the guys all the time about, you know, coming back. And now I've got one of my friends, Marcus Smart, coming here. Like, there's a decent chance I'm coming back. So, like I said, gut feeling. I think he's coming back. NBA draft, I think the NBA draft only helped, or what's going on right now with the NBA lockout only helps his chances of coming back.
Yeah.
Who knows? The way it's going right now, even. Maybe locked out for 4 years. Nash will be a 4-year starter here. I mean, it's funny. It's funny, but it might be true. That's the sad part.
I know. It's unfortunate.
It is.
Okay.
Especially because I'm a Heat fan.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that, though.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't say that on to all your...
I've always been a Heat fan, though, before LeBron. Tim Hardaway days, yeah. Brian Grant days.
Glenn Rice.
Oh, yeah, Glenn Rice. Eddie Jones used to be my favorite player.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I loved Eddie Jones.
That's awesome. Okay, Anthony Slater, appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
Talking some hoops. We'll have you on as the year progresses, as we count it down to Budlam here in a couple weeks.
That one's
going to
be a good one.
Yeah, it is. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
All right, see you.
Okay, see you.